The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. On this edition of Century, Strengthening Family and Society. Surviving political and environmental crises is challenging for anyone, but particularly for young people. Addressing these challenges requires a comprehensive approach that combines evidence-based interventions with grassroots initiatives. The Women's Federation for World Peace recently organized a panel to discuss these issues and approaches to address them, entitled Strengthening the Resilience of Youth in Challenging Times, The Role of Family and Society. On this week's show, we're going to hear portions of that discussion. Dr. Ala Elkhani is a humanitarian psychologist who works as a consultant for numerous international organizations, including the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, War Child, and Chemonix. She's also an honorary research associate at the University of Manchester at the Division of Psychology and Mental Health. Her presentation was entitled Family Skills as a Prevention Strategy.
In this presentation, I'm going to be sharing our UNODC experience of availing family skills resources to families in challenging situations, sharing lessons learned and what tools are available that you might add to your own arsenal of resources to build youth in resilience in your communities. Firstly, resilience in youth really refers to a young person's ability to bounce back from challenging situations while maintaining their psychological well-being and continuing to thrive despite obstacles they might face. Essentially, it's the capacity to cope with tough times and emerge stronger from them. There's no doubt that all youth and their families will experience challenges at one point, and these challenges will look different for every family. Having skills to cope during challenging times is a really essential life skill. The UNODC International Standards on Drug Use Prevention emphasizes the relationship that parents or primary caregivers in the absence of parents have with their children. And these can be the primary most important factor in the future of children. That's in their emotional and mental health development, and really significantly in reducing the likelihood of them becoming engaged in risky behaviors such as substance misuse and criminal activity. Parenting supports a child's adjustment beyond their own individual resilience. But parenting or caregiving is not always easy, and children don't come with manuals that guide them or guide us on how to best care for our children. And at different times in our children's lives, we might struggle more than others. And caregivers might feel that they're missing the knowledge and the skills to know how best to show up for our children. And this is why all families in all contexts can benefit from family skills resources that aim to strengthen family protective factors like communication, trust, problem solving, conflict resolution. And families that experience parenting under significant stress need these more than ever, whether the stress is due to living through illness of a family member, whether it's through living through armed conflict. It could be stress due to a challenging divorce, forced displacement, or economic instability. These are all challenging circumstances. And there is clear evidence that family-based interventions in times of crisis lead to stronger resilience among youth. And for this reason at UNODC, we've been developing and implementing family skills open resource information to meet this need, working on really advocating for evidence-based prevention through a global prevention program geared at supporting the Sustainable Developmental Goals of 2030 through the dissemination of evidence-based parenting directed at all families around the world. And we've developed this model of family multi-level parenting support delivery for families that are living through various stress contexts. And this model has four levels of parenting support, And at every level, there'll be a different level of needs that families might have, and also a different level of resources that families might have. And the different levels are addressed at really tackling mental or psychosocial health and are delivered with minimal training by non-specialists. So really easy to incorporate into developmental responses and simple enough to allow really wide and rapid dissemination. I'm going to take you through each of these levels very briefly to show you what tools are available for you to use, because these are all open access tools. Let's start at the bottom. The bottom level of this model are tools that are very low intensity, and this would be available for all adults and children. These are very light tools that can be distributed to all families very easily. For example, at this level here, we have leaflets and videos that can be shared via printing or hand distribution or simply shared on WhatsApp. They have very basic information, such as how to meet the needs of children during stressful times. So you might find tips on providing warmth and safety, giving praise, reminders on spending time together with children, maintaining routine, and ensuring caregivers keep communicating with their children, even when they themselves are stressed. In one project in Syria during the very early stages of the war in 2015, we simply printed these leaflets and disseminated them within bread wrappers, which was the only source of food that families in that war zone were receiving at that time. In other ways, we have also uploaded these leaflets onto a vaccine app for refugees. So there are many ways that we can reach families with these tools. And many of these tools we use have been developed by us at UNODC, but also many are collaborative efforts with other agencies, such as the WHO, the University of Oxford, and the Global Initiative on Parenting. And such collaborations really showcase the importance of coordinated efforts across different organizations working towards the same goal of supporting families with evidence-based information. The next level of our model here from the bottom, the tools become more intensive and more detailed than the leaflet. And here we have these light touch self-read packages, which are suitable for areas where in-person reach might be a little bit difficult. And here we've developed an intervention that consists of a parenting booklet and associated discussion group. So here, caregivers receive either of these booklets that demonstrate key skills in a really simple and engaging way, such as building parenting confidence, building caregiver self-regulatory skills, stress management, and how to enhance child and family psychological well-being. While receiving these booklets, caregivers also can take part in a two-hour conversation group with other families sitting in the same room. And this conversation group really expands the information in the booklet. Here we have an example of the kinds of themes you might see in this booklet, such as information on what your child might be experiencing and how to support your child, what you as a caregiver might be experiencing, and to how to support your child, information on the importance of communication, maintaining safety. And we really focus on youth and how to support children as they strive to become more independent, but also how to keep them safe. The next level of our model, so the third level from the bottom, we're going up now, and the tools are becoming more intensive, is for multi-session work. So these include multi-session programs such as the UNODC Strong Families Program. And this program is a cost-effective, light, 3-week family skill intervention, which is available in multi-languages. And this is for families, especially in challenged situations. It's been implemented now in over 40 countries, including Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Uzbekistan, and we're also piloting it in high-income countries such as Finland, with underserved populations that experience multiple challenges. Several studies now that we've conducted really demonstrate the ability of such a short 3-week program to increase youth resilience and enhance parenting skills, as well as reducing parental stress and child stress too. And we continue to develop add-on modules for this intervention in response to global needs that we're identifying as we expand implementation internationally, such as a module on managing peer pressure, an important topic that we teach children, we teach youth practical skills, for example, how to recognize dangerous situations they might face, how to stay safe in these situations, and how to respond when facing peer pressure. The Strong Families has also been developed into an online training platform, and we've already trialed this in over 10 countries very successfully. So we come now to the top of our model, the tip, and here we recognize that for some families, they will need more targeted intensive programs for children that have been exposed to trauma. And one such intervention that sits at this level is the Teaching Recovery Techniques Program Plus Parenting, developed by the Children and War Foundation and in collaboration with the University of Manchester. This is an evidence-based child trauma recovery program with an added parenting session component. And this is particularly valuable for families that have experienced significant traumas related to both natural and man-made disasters, such as war, earthquakes, or even physical violence, such as rape. And this intervention has been trialed successfully in multiple countries. And here, children learn how to recover or how to manage the traumas, which can affect them in many ways, such as them experiencing nightmares or debilitating intrusive thoughts. And my experience through implementing this intervention globally is that really when you watch children recover from such challenging experiences like these nightmares and intrusive thoughts, and you watch them recover from these experiences, this intervention really seems truly magical that you can make such an effect on children and their families. And watching caregivers really gain confidence and learn how to manage their children's potential change in their behavior through upskilling them, through their improved caregiver skills, is so powerful. These programs can change the entire trajectory of a family for the better in many ways, physically, mentally, and socially. So in summary, I hope I've provided you with an insight on firstly, the importance of supporting caregivers with family skills during challenging contexts. And secondly, opened your eyes to the numerous tools available at your fingertips that would service beneficiaries we both are supporting. And you can access these by visiting our UNODC website that you can see there. And that's the QR code that you can scan to reach it too. By using these tools, we're supporting global recommendations that highlight the effectiveness of structured parenting programs and early intervention strategies in reducing the likelihood of substance use and other negative physical, mental, and social outcomes. And this is something every individual deserves and has the right to access. And this weakens the link between living through challenging contexts and negative outcomes. I'm going to stop here, and now my colleague Anna will now share an example of a study which shows the feasibility and effectiveness of implementing such family skills resources in a humanitarian context.
That was Dr. Ala Elhani, a humanitarian psychologist and consultant for the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, speaking on a panel organized by the Women's Federation for World Peace, entitled Strengthening the Resilience of Youth in Challenging Times, The Role of Family and Society, which was held Thursday, March 13th as a side event at the 68th session of the United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Let's hear more from that panel. Another presenter was Anna Tarasenko, a neuroscientist and individual research consultant with the UN Office on Drugs and Crime. Her presentation was entitled, How Feasible and Effective Is It to Support Caregivers with Light Touch Resources During an Ongoing War?
So I'll be speaking today about how feasible and effective is it to support caregivers with light touch resources during an ongoing war. This is a case study of implementation of the parenting resources that Ala mentioned. And I'll be talking a little bit more about what they are later. So in today's discussion, we'll give a brief overview of the context of the study methods, some preliminary findings, and the barriers to the intervention delivery. So the Ukrainian context is such that Ukraine has been in the ongoing full-scale invasion since 2022. Ukraine is the second largest country in Europe and had around 47 million people of the population. And at the moment, there is a 3.7 million internally displaced persons in Ukraine. They're distributed all throughout the country. However, as you can see on this map, there are these dark blue regions where there are more people concentrated. Interestingly, so the front line is around here, and you can see that the people from the areas of the active fighting or that are occupied, moved not very far from their original places and stayed close to the front line that is still very much attacked. So this is the regions that we concentrated on in our study. 22% of the internally displaced people are children. So in our study, we focused on Kharkiv, Zaporizhzhia, Dnipro, Odessa, and Mykolaiv. These are these five cities that are close to the eastern part of the country that are regularly undergoing bombings from the Russian side, but the families still live there. We targeted the caregivers of children aged 9 to 14, and the intervention was a two-hour discussion group delivered online and offline, centered around positive parenting. So the things that were included in the intervention were things like importance of praise, importance of spending time with your child, but also establishing routines, even though it might be difficult in the context of humanitarian crisis. But also importantly, it had an emphasis on the well-being of the caregivers themselves. The outcome measures that we used were very brief questionnaires before and 2 weeks after the group that included both children and the caregivers, and also some in-depth interviews. So in addition to the groups, we also distributed some informational resources like tip sheets with very practical advice, a booklet where all of the things that we discuss in the groups were summarized, and a short video. So if you think back to the pyramid that Alla was showing in her presentation, these resources lie at the base of the pyramid, so they are very easy to deliver, and they can cover a large number of people, however they're lower in the intensity. So this is the example of the questionnaires that we used. So very simple questions about how many days in the past 2 weeks have you praised your child for something that they did well, spent time with the child, but also about the well-being of the caregivers, so felt depressed or hopeless. So the preliminary results showed that we had seen an increase in the praise for the children, increase in speaking calmly to the child, and increase in the self-care of the parents. And we've seen the decrease in feeling depressed and in emotional abuse, even though it was still quite low at the baseline. I'll just leave you with some quotes from the families. I liked hearing from other parents as to how they deal with the situation, how they explain to their children what is happening. I also liked when my concerns were addressed by the facilitator. When asked to do something for myself, I realized that I do everything for my child. I don't think about myself. After the group, I went and bought for myself something I wanted for a long time. So these are just some photos from the group, and the barriers to the interventions were, you know, linked mainly to the uncertainty and ongoing situation of crisis.
That was Anna Tarasenko, a neuroscientist and individual research consultant with the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, speaking on a panel organized by the Women's Federation for World Peace, entitled Strengthening the Resilience of Youth in Challenging Times: The Role of Family and Society, which was held Thursday, March 13th as a side event at the 68th session of the United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria. We'll have more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Another of the speakers at that event was Kafilwe Lebepe, representing the Women's Federation for World Peace Young Professionals chapter. Her presentation was entitled Empowering the Youth.
I will be talking about the regions of Africa, Asia, and Europe. Thank you very much. In Africa, Women Federation has a Schools of Africa project, which is currently supporting 2,000 students and has produced over 20,000 graduates. One of the schools that was founded is Jamor Social Support Assistance Center in Senegal. And they offer various programs, sewing, embroidery, homemaking. And since 2001, the school has offered a two-year internship graduate program to offer advanced skills. And in Kenya, the Hando Secondary School was opened in 1998 and continues to grow. This brought relief to the people in the local area who mainly rely on farming and subsistence living and have limited access to education. The school is also able to offer a nutrition program for students to receive free lunches. And those of us here from developing countries will know that nutrition programs are essential for children to keep coming back to school. And another award-winning and recognized school is the Son of Mozambique, which is located in the area of Beira and currently operated by Women Federation volunteers. The school is a high-performing school and also produces many graduates who have been selected by the government to go study abroad in scholarships. One of the beneficiaries of the Schools of Africa initiative is Dr. Jerry Ajayi Mai. He's a 32-year-old medical doctor in Ghana, and he also wants to build a hospital where quality healthcare can be provided for people in the community, and is also part of our Women's Federation Young Professionals Network and has contributed to our forums. This is very important because in a recent BBC report, it showed a rapid increase of opioid abuse by children as young as 8 years old in West Africa. This makes education an essential investment for us as Women Federation for the youngest continent in the world, which has an average age of 18 years. And I will talk about Asia. Women Federation Afghanistan opened a women's cultural community center in New Delhi for Afghanistan women who found refuge in India. Here they offer tailoring, design, computers, and other courses. And internally, the women are also being taught the Women Federation curriculum, which focuses on building a world of peace the woman's way. The curriculum was written by Women Federation members, some I see are here, and it focuses on the self, the family, and the society. The first module is dignity, and it focuses on the self, teaches how to restore one's dignity, and also see one's value in the world. The second module focuses on the family and has three chapters, including prenatal education, which has 10 golden rules. And my favorite is, look at your child as the bride's son. And in this module, there's also a chapter on familiarchy, which is a bridge between matriarchy and patriarchy. And the last module in this curriculum focuses on society. These are leadership chapters and are a valuable resource for young people who are interested in advocacy. After learning these chapters, one will have the skills to approach formal structures, be it their local government or even do advocacy work here at the United Nations. And
One of our capacity building programs in Europe is the Young Women Speech Contest, which has been in the UK since 2015 and has provided a remarkable platform for young women to speak their minds and deepen their thoughts and give insight into their beliefs and values. The program has also been established in Spain and Albania, and in 2022 in Uganda. This Young Women Speech Network has produced an alumni network of young professionals whose aim is to strengthen leadership amongst young women and develop a strong network and support system for each other. These young women offer their creativity and intellect to Women's Federation and have developed an internship program in line with the regulations in the United Kingdom. And one of the capacity building programs being offered is the Leadership of the Heart, which was created by Women Federation USA with a focus of helping women in leadership programs, be it in society or business. This addresses challenges that women often face and shows how to deal with difficult circumstances. It addresses the challenges that women in leadership often change and shows how to overcome difficult circumstances in a resourceful manner. In 2024, the alumni network of the Young Women Speech Contest trained young leaders to become facilitators of the Leadership of the Heart program. Sharon Nakaungu, co-director of the Women's Federation Young Women's Speech Contest in the UK, was a runner-up in 2016 and is now part of the alumni network, which is taking the Young Women's Speech Contest to greater heights. She also says that learning and educating herself more on the values and mission of Women's Federation ignited something in her. The Young Professionals was created for young people from different parts of the world to share challenges they face and work on solutions together. And through our internal and external education programs, we work to create a youth that is resilient to drugs and crime and can become role models who uplift their communities. We will continue to invest in education, sustainable development goal number 4, so that instead of the youth escaping their reality through drugs, they can create a real bright future for themselves. Thank you.
That was Kafilwe Lebepe, representing the Women's Federation for World Peace Young Professionals Chapter, speaking on a panel organized by WFWP entitled Strengthening the Resilience of Youth in Challenging Times, the Role of Family and Society, which was held Thursday, March 13th as a side event at the 68th session of the United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's AudioPort service. Please support your local community radio station. Become a member. Become a volunteer. Find this edition of Century, along with an archive of past shows, at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
So long!
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.